Day 30 prayer message. Pray for the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. Quote, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and in much assurance.
Right, so, I mean, the word killeth, the Bible says, but the Spirit bringeth forth life. The Apostle Paul didn't come just reading the Bible or professing it or preaching it out of the Spirit. He made sure that when he began to speak that it was powered behind there with the by the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what else?
That was 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Quote, them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. 1 Peter 1:12. How little the blessing when the Bible is preached or read in word only. How great is divine blessing when it comes, quote, in the Holy Spirit, when it is preached with the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven. Pray that all circulation of Bibles and preaching and teaching and reading, that it may all be in the Holy Spirit with much power.
Right, because if it isn't, it just kills. That's one of the reasons, the major reason why the people leave the churches is because it's very boring and it's not with the Spirit.
Pray for the power of the Spirit with the Word in your own house, church, neighborhood, community, city, state, continent, and the world. Wherever it is read or heard, let every mention of the Word of God wake up intercession.
Right. When the Word of God is spoken, it should wake up in you the spirit of intercession, where the Lord is anointing the things that you're hearing, the things that you're reading, the things that are being said. And the waking up intercession, that means wake up prayer in you. Because the Lord is the one that's supposed to be doing the prayer, telling you what to pray, and you, in His Spirit, pray a prayer of intercession. And people that don't understand that, I feel sorry for you, because I just need, you know, everybody needs to pray for you, because if you don't get the message, I just feel sorry for you, because if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord, there's no way that you can possibly raise from the dead on the day you die. And people are getting automobile accidents, one of the major causes of death every year, and there's more deaths inside the house. Just people running and stumbling and falling and all kinds of different catastrophes that are happening in the house. People die. And if you don't have this, if you're not in the Spirit, you don't have the Spirit of the Lord, you'll be in the down below. Then what?
How to pray. Watching and praying.
How do we pray? We watch and pray. Okay, then what?
Quote, continue in prayer and watching in the same with all thanksgiving.
Right. When I say watching and praying, I don't just say it without having the scripture to back up what I'm saying. Everything that I'm saying, there's scriptures to back up. Read the scripture again. How do you pray? Watching and praying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, what does it mean to watch? Well, what does it mean? Go ahead. Then go ahead.
Continue in prayer and watching in the same with all thanksgiving.
Right, you're watching to make sure that God hears you. You're watching, overseeing, and making sure that the Spirit, that the message that you're getting from the Lord, what to pray for, is the right prayer. And then you can watch for it to happen. The answer is
continue in prayer and watching in the same with all thanksgiving. With
all always be thankful to the Lord, because there isn't any greater blessing than the Lord communicating with you and telling you what to do. What could be more beautiful than that? Okay, and then what else?
With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Colossians 4, 2 and 3.
Yeah, Paul wants them to pray that he'll get messages from the Lord to preach to the church. I ask the same thing. I ask that people pray to God that He'll open up a door of utterance so that I'll be able to know the right message from God by the Spirit to preach and to teach or to write, okay? So that the whole world can benefit from it. God saved us. He blessed us with salvation and by the Holy Spirit, and for the reason, and anointed us for the reason of blessing others by allowing Him to minister through us to the other, so that the Spirit of God can be poured out upon all flesh through His sons and daughters prophesying, His servants and handmaids. Right? And then we, He says, to prophesy. They will prophesy. That means they will preach. So God is pouring the Spirit out upon all flesh through ministers that are preaching. They're reading the Word in the Spirit and preaching the Word in the Spirit. Okay, then what?
Do you not see now all depends on God and prayer?
Everything depends on God and prayer. If you may think that you're getting somehow getting a vacation or something if you're not praying and seeking God, everything depends in your life as to how it's going to be. Depends on God, and you're praying to God. Then what?
God lives forever, loves forever, hears and works in us. As long as there are souls whose hearts are closed to the Word,
Are closed up to the Word, He's going to send us in to preach to them. And the only way that the heart is going to open up to the Word is if they see the evidence, or if they see that that the Lord is in you. And if they then will listen to the words that you preach. Okay. Come on.
God lives forever, loves forever, hears and works in us. As long as there are souls whose hearts are closed to the Word, as long as there is work to be done in carrying the Word. Pray without ceasing. Quote, continue in prayer, watching in the same with thanksgiving. These are words for every Christian.
What more can be said? This is prayer number 30. I might do one more, but this is actually a month of prayers. If everyone listens to them and abides, does what the prayers, what these instructions tell you, then you will be able to stay in the Spirit. All right, praise the Lord.
For intercession is this. The friend came at midnight, an awkward hour. He was hungry and could not buy bread. If we are to learn to pray as we should, we must open our eyes and hearts to the needs around us.
Yeah, first of all, you have to be able to have enough sense to see the need around you. Just because your stomach is full and you're warmed and filled doesn't mean that there aren't people around you that are hungry and naked and also that don't have adequate living facilities. And also, worse than that, those that don't have the bread of life. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they're going out into outer darkness by the millions every year into a Christless grave for an eternity in the lake of fire. And so the Lord wants, He didn't save us to just be concerned about ourselves, because the person that doesn't think of that which the Lord has called them to do is a person that is going to be a vine without fruit, a branch without fruit, a dry branch. And the Lord will assures us in His Word that He will, that we will not spend eternity in heaven, but be in the lake of fire with the devil. Okay, then what?
We know of the millions of unsaved souls, Catholics, Muslims, Buddhists, and others, who are living in the darkness of midnight, perishing because they have received no bread of life.
Which is Christ. Christ said, I am the bread of life. And if you haven't ministered to them, you haven't been concerned enough to even pick up the emails, or you haven't got the letters out correctly, if you're not out on the streets witnessing and testifying, those of you that are in cities that haven't won a soul in years, and you are thinking yourselves to be a fruitful branch of, and fused into the vine with the Lord Jesus Christ, your works, which don't seem to be any, will be weighed in the balance and tested at judgment, on judgment day. Then what else?
We also hear of millions of lazy Christians who have no zeal to do what Christ has called them to do. We see also millions supposedly in the Christian church who are not ignorant or indifferent, and yet know little about walking in the light of Christ or of the power of a life fed by bread from heaven.
A life that is fed with the bread from heaven. There are billions of souls that have not had one taste of the bread from heaven. They haven't heard the words from those that have the power of God to be able to preach it. They've never heard that before. Then what else?
Everyone has their own friends, clique, school, church, and the big complaint is that the light and life of God are not very much known.
Yeah. Even in your churches that really know, that are born again and saved, they're not indifferent. And they are not really ignorant, but they don't know anything about the Lord that much. Or they don't know of His operation or the things that the Lord wants to do in them. They're just dry, bone dry. What else?
If we really believe what we profess, preach, which is that God alone is able to help, and that God truly will help in answer to our prayer, all this should make intercessors of us.
Right. But, we need to learn that we are impotent. That when there's people by the hundreds and even thousands writing us from overseas in Africa, India, Philippines, and everywhere in the world wanting to come here. They don't have the funds to come here to learn how to serve the Lord. They want bicycles to go from one house to another, and some houses are miles away from each other, some little villages, and they want food for the different orphanages. These are our missionaries out there. And we don't have the money to send them. And so that's why I feel impotent, insufficient. I don't have the money. I'm not able to supply their needs. And so I have a very wealthy friend. A friend that does have all the needs that they need. And we as intercessors need to call upon, we all have that same friend, incidentally, very wealthy. And all he needs to do is hear from us, and he will supply our every need. And if we have a desire in our heart to help others, as the Lord, if he's in you, then that desire is in you as well. Then we need to talk to our rich friend. And so that he will do that. Okay, then what else?
It should motivate us to be persons who give their lives.
Read the line before again, okay. Please.
All this should make intercessors of us. It should motivate us to be persons who give their lives to prayer for those around us. Let's take a good look at the need. Every person who is not saved because they're without Christ, and they are going down into outer darkness daily, perishing because of hunger.
There's a hunger for the bread of life. There are literally billions of them. Then what?
While there is bread enough and plenty to spare for everyone.
Right, there's plenty of bread from the kingdom of heaven. He's loaded with it. We've got plenty of the word within us to be able to preach it to people. And we shouldn't be cautious if we know the truth. we should dispense it, that the truth is the bread of life. And some people are too lazy even to minister to their own relatives, to their own sons and daughters. I know that I am a person that has personally witnessed many sons and daughters of people that have never witnessed to their children at all, and they were raised in a Christian church. And that is extremely sad. And their parents have shown them a very bad testimony and have called themselves Christians, and it's very hard to be able to convince their children that the right way of Christianity is the way that the Bible is teaching, which I teach from the Old and New Testament. Then what?
Millions die each year without the knowledge of Christ. Our own family, friends, neighbors, and souls in the world who God has entrusted to us all die without hope. Christians all around us are living sickly, feeble, fruitless lives. For sure, prayer is needed. Nothing, nothing but prayer to God for help will avail.
If you can't do anything about it, one thing for sure you can, no matter how sickly, how feeble, how poor you are, you can certainly get up to the Lord, our rich friend, our brother, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our the Prince of Peace, and ask Him. Do you think that He doesn't want to provide for the people in this world that you're praying for, that they receive the His blessings? He will surely, He says, ask and you shall receive. That's all we need do is just ask. And then people are busy with color crayons and drawing little cartoons and playing with dolls, even little girls and little boys. God loves little children, and He listens to them. And He listens to the prayer of a child that has faith as much as He does at a grown-up person. He said that we're not to despise a person's youth that believes in the Lord. He commands us to have the faith of a child. Children really believe in God. If they don't, they're really bad children. For sure, because if they're told with the gospel all about Jesus, they still don't believe that that's a real bad child. Okay, then what?
Do we have willing love? The friend took his weary, hungry friend into his house and into his heart as well. He would never excuse himself by saying he had no bread. Quote, at midnight he went out to seek it for him. He sacrificed his night of rest and his comfort to find the needed bread. Love, quote.
Right, in other words, he got on his face. I don't know what to witness to anybody. I have to get up to the throne and ask, Lord, give me the bread of life for this person. I don't know what it is in their life that has caused them to not be saved to this point in their life. But Lord, give me the fresh bread from heaven to give to them so that it's a perfect witness. It's like tailor-made from the throne, the perfect bread of life for this person. So when I hear that there's somebody on the phone in the middle of the night that is wants to hear about the Lord, or there's brothers over at the church in Los Angeles, they've been witnessing to somebody and they know that they just have had a bad time, that the person is still there. They can tell he's hungering and thirsting for the word, but they just don't know what to tell him because they're babes. So they'll get me and I'll be in bed and it's comfortable there and I'm really tired. Yeah, but when I hear it's a lost soul, I just immediately start praying on the way to the phone to find out what it is that this soul needs in order for him to be able to get the strength and the power that is in the bread of life to cause him to have the desire to be a Christian, to be a son of God, to work for the Lord, to be the same as all the other people that are of the Lord that want to help others. because this is the natural desire of a person that has God in them, is that they want to give them bread and help them, and to take them in and to nourish them, and to make sure they get into the kingdom of heaven, to not only get them saved, but to support them as their little babes in the Lord, new converts, to support them and build them up in the strength of the word of the Lord, so that they will grow into the fullness of the stature of the Lord, so that they will become intercessors, even if they're crippled or feeble or young or too old to go out and distribute literature, they can sure pray down the riches from, even though we're poor, we can pray down the riches from heaven to make others rich. Okay, then what?
Love, quote, seeketh not her own, end quote.
Yeah, you're not supposed to think about yourself. I get so sick and tired of people that when you're ministering the word, say, inside the church, and they're saying, well, I didn't do this, or maybe the message wasn't to you. They constantly just think that everything is to them. And then they'll write you lengthy letters that I didn't think that this was, that there was the problems in the house, or I didn't know this, or I wasn't maybe even talking to that person at all. But they like to detract you because they're so much thinking of themselves. They don't have the honest to goodness, honest to God desire in there to love, of the love of God that seeketh not herself. They're always thinking of themselves rather than others. Even to the point to where they'll actually drag a minister that is ministering to the whole world out of the realm of witnessing, because they just think every message is to them. Well, if it really is to them, then they ought to put the, you know, if the shoe fits, then put it on and wear it. But you always see them rising up and just writing lengthy letters and stuff like that about how righteous they are, instead of how impotent they are. They've never won a soul in their life, right? The Lord isn't going to judge them as to whether they were doing this or that, but he's going to judge them as to where's the fruit, where are the souls I gave you, that I put before you. Did you encourage anybody, or did you bring false accusations against them? Did you shrug your duties and your works, all your works, where are they? All you did, you didn't defend the gospel, you defended yourself. But love seeketh not self. Okay, read that back.
Love seeketh not her own.
Right. Keep going.
It is the very nature of love to give up and forget herself for the sake of others.
Right, you just give up your own self for the sake of others. Your own life, your own rest. I hear so many people say, well, man, I'd only got like 5 hours sleep or 6 hours sleep. I can't sacrifice my rest, or I need sleep. I'm, you know, this or that. But you never see a true saint of God saying such evil things as that. So they stay in bed while somebody else does their work. And it's always because, or I can't make it to school on time. I can't sacrifice this. I wanted to stay up, or I couldn't go to sleep. Or there's just 1,000 excuses. But that too will be tested at the judgment bar of God. People think that just because their children are young, that this doesn't go down against them. But it does, because your soul, it shows that there is no will in your soul to sacrifice your life that others, preferring others before yourself. Okay, then what?
The very nature of love is to give up and forget herself for the sake of others. It takes their needs and makes them its own.
Right. It takes other people's needs and makes your needs my own. That's real love. If somebody wants a house so bad that they can't stand it, they just want it, and they've been doing a good work for the house of the Lord, you do everything in your power to get that house for them, or to help them, or to try to help them find finances for it or something. It's not for yourself. It's for them. Or if there is a need for that person to show the love of God, just hundreds of different instances where the Lord wants you to forget yourself and love. Seek. And you don't vaunt yourself how great you are. Because we're impotent. It's only by the power of God in us that anything is done. And it's only by our obedience to Him that any true witness can be made to others. Okay, then what else?
It finds its real joy in living and dying for others as Christ did.
Right. If Christ is in you, then, and you're dead, then Christ has the same temperament as He did when He was here 2,000 years ago. He died for others, and He'll do the same thing in your body. That is, if He's in your body. Well, you know, I didn't get much sleep. I would get a sniffle in my nose. Don't you know that if you keep the commandments of the Lord, the sniffle of your nose will go away? Okay, then what?
The love of a mother for her prodigal, wayward son makes her pray for him.
It's absolutely pray, because you love that son. You don't want that son to go to hell, or that daughter. You don't think about yourself for praying for something for yourself. That's my son. Well, everybody in the world is a creation of God. Those are all His sons, too. If you want Him to take care of your son, or take care of you or your loved ones, well, then you'd best be busy sowing love and mercy to others. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're no testimony to the world. The testimony is when people see you doing that which Christ did. If Christ is in you, then and you're dead in His death, you're in Him in His death, and you're in His, then you most certainly are in His resurrection. And you're alive in Christ. And so if Christ, when He's alive in you, then you'll see Christ manifested in you, doing not complaining or murmuring, but doing the will of His Father in you. All right, then what?
True love for souls will become in us the spirit of intercession.
Right, you have a love for souls, you see millions of them going to hell. That kindles the spirit of intercession in you, because, my God, how many souls are dying today? 6,000 alone a day in Africa is an old count. That's more like 8,000 to 10,000 a day now, or maybe even more, just of those that are infested with one disease alone, AIDS. That's not counting Ebola. And if you just think about your own house here and your comfort and you're warm and filled and you're not diseased yet. Well, sometimes God strikes people with a deadly disease so that they'll have compassion for others. And then, because you haven't had any compassion for others and millions went to hell, because even though you're a child, you could have been responsible by your prayers, by your intercession. God had moved down on many of them. He could have shown them visions of Himself. He could have spoke to them just like He did me and shown a vision of Himself to others just as He did me. And that would quicken them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to give up their life to the death on His cross. And then so that His spirit would be released into their bodies, into their spirits, and that they would be resurrected alive in His resurrections. Okay, then what?
It is possible to do much faithful and earnest work for our fellow men without true love for them. We cannot rest in our work if souls are to be saved.
Yeah, a lot of people do benevolent works for people. as much as they can, but they don't win their souls to the Lord. That doesn't do them any good. I mean, it's good to do benevolent works and everything, but they're like filthy rags unto the Lord. If you're going to say that that will bring about salvation, it won't. Then what?
True love must pray.
True love, if you really love that which the Lord has sent, entered you for, to win souls, then you have to pray. If you don't have to pray, then you don't have any love in you. And you better pray for the spirit of love. Charity is the peak of all the love of Christ. To be good, to prefer others before yourselves. Then what?
We are to have the sense of impotence.
We are to have the sense that we have nothing to give anybody. Because if I think I've got something to give anybody without praying to the Lord for it first, I have to pray individually for each person that I'm witnessing to, or for each message, to find out what it is that he wants me to feed him. So I have nothing. I have to seek the Lord for the bread that he wants me to give to them. So I have nothing to set before them, is what the scripture says. I have nothing. I must go to the Lord in prayer in order to get something, some bread to give them. Okay, then what?
Many times we speak of the power of love. In one sense, this is true, and yet the truth has its limitations, which must not be forgotten.
What do you mean, say truth has its limitations, or love has its limitations too? Does it? Isn't that a stupid thing to say? No, it's not. It does have its limitations. Because a mother, son can be dying, or the daughter, and she would gladly give her life for that son or daughter, and yet the child dies. She's limited, right?
Right.
But there's somebody up there that if she called on him, that isn't limited, right?
Right.
So you can only do so much. You have to call on a friend. Amen?
Amen?
You have to call on the one that can do something, right?
Right.
All right. Then what? Keep going.
The strongest love may be impotent. A mother may be willing to give her life for her dying child, but still might not be able to save it. The friend at midnight was most willing to give his friend bread, but he had none. It was this sense of impotency, his inability to help, that sent him begging, quote, a friend, is come to me, dot, 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 is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.
Yeah, so he goes begging. Well, who do you go begging to? The Lord, amen?
Amen.
What would you have done if I would have pointed that way? I pointed up there, just to catch your attention, okay. Not the devil. Okay, then what else?
This sense of impotency in God's servants is the very strength to the life of intercession.
Right, because when you see your child dying or hungry, that gives you the strength to pray. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, just because your son or daughter, your child or your loved one is not dying, there are just millions of people out there whose sons and daughters are dying. And they're crying out. I just got a call, an email yesterday from somebody. Was it today or yesterday?
It was today.
It was today. But he says, my son has to go through, or his child has to go through it. He's 6 years old. And he says, please pray for him that everything will be. And I did immediately. Immediately the Lord came down into and kindled this prayer of intercession, this intercession spirit for this child. Because I put myself in that man's place, what would I do if my little six-year-old boy, my precious little boy, were dying or had to go on an operation? Just an operation alone, I'd be scared to death. And so I prayed, God, in the name of Jesus. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord, this is your son in me that is praying this prayer, and you never reject your son. You never reject your son, Father. So, Lord, God, touch that boy so he doesn't have to be operated on. So it can be a great testimony unto your saving and healing power. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Then what?
Quote, I have nothing to set before him, end quote.
That's what the scripture says. I haven't got anything. We're totally impotent. What can we do? We can't do a work of the Lord. It has to be the Lord. Amen. We have to be dead. Right?
Right.
This Adamic body that we still live in and where the Lord lives in must be mortified by the Spirit of God. And it has to be the Lord moving up to the throne so that the people that the Lord has put on our heart, and my God, look around you, I mean, and see all the problems in the world and stop thinking about yourself. Because if you do that, if you seek the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, the things that he says is right for you to do, then all things will be added unto you anyway. If you don't do that, then it doesn't make any difference how much you pray for yourself. You're not going to get anything anyway. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Prefer others before yourself. Then what else?
As this consciousness possesses the minister or missionary, the teacher, worker, or pastor.
Once you become conscious of this is what it is, then what? Whether you're a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a worker, a Christian worker, or whatever, once you become conscious of that, then what?
Intercession becomes the only hope and refuge.
That's your only hope and your only refuge. You can't do anything because the strongest and most powerful person in the world thinks they can do something. And without God, God can take them down in one flash of a second. Doesn't make any difference how young or old you are. If you don't realize, you know, that you're nothing without him, then you'll never have the spirit of intercession in you, and you'll never pray for others, you'll never sow mercy. Okay, then what else?
I may have knowledge and truth, a loving heart, and the readiness to give myself for those under my charge, but the bread of heaven I cannot give them.
No, it has to be God giving it to me to give to them. I have nothing to set before you. Okay, go ahead.
God must, by my prayer, give me for them the fresh baked bread, especially for them.
From heaven, especially, which is especially for them. Then what else?
With all my love and zeal, quote, I have of myself nothing to set before them, end quote. Blessed is the man who makes the declaration, I have nothing. The motto of his ministry.
That must be the motto of everyone's ministry. I don't have anything. I have to seek the Lord constantly in order to have something from him to give others. And if I don't care anything about giving something to others, then how is God going to let me into heaven? Because I don't have any concern for souls. We're too busy worrying about ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
This kind of minister thinks of the judgment day and those lost souls.
Yeah, a good minister thinks of the judgment day. He always thinks of that during the day. What I do today, I'm going to be judged for. And what I don't do today is what I'm going to be judged for, too. Then what?
This kind of minister thinks of the judgment day and those lost souls who are in danger.
Who are, you know, because they're liable to die today. And if they don't hear, and you could pray to God to send a minister to them to bring the word to them. Or you could pray that God will give them a sign, a vision, a dream to quicken them and cause them to read the Bible or to go to church, to a spirit-filled church. Then what else?
He sees what a supernatural power and life is needed to save men from sin.
It's a real supernatural, it's needed power, faith, love. It's a job, and it needs the power of God, the power of faith, the power of love to do it. If you don't have it, you're nothing. Then what else?
He sees how utterly insufficient he is.
Yes, the ministry minister sees how inefficient, how impotent he is to set anything before people. It's the work of the Lord. This is the work of God. It's not the work of man. Okay, then what?
He needs God and is dependent on Him to even provide the things for his friend's natural life. Quote, "I have nothing," urges him to pray. As he thinks of the midnight darkness and the hungry souls, intercession comes before him as the only hope, the one and only thing his love can take refuge in. A warning to all those who think themselves to be strong and wise to accomplish the work of God, and for the encouragement of all who are feeble, remember this truth. The sense of impotency is the soul of intercession.
Right, that's what gives you the soul to intercede for people, is the knowledge, or the sense, the knowledge that you have nothing to set before people, that you have to get a hold of God. You see all those hungry people starving in Africa and all over the world, in the Philippines, and the people that are diseased. And, well, you know, God's cursed them. That's what a lot of Christians say. But the Lord wants them to be saved. He's cursing them just like He is the people here in the United States, in hopes that they begin crying out to the Lord in intercessory prayer, to where God will not will make our enemies at peace with us. He uses the Vatican or the One World Order to chasten His people into serving Him and crying out, just as the Egyptians were vexing the souls of the Jewish, the Israelites, enough to where they finally, after all these years, began crying out to God for deliverance. And there is a lot of this sort of thing building up in the United States and throughout the whole world. And if people would start praying to God, God would deliver us from the oppression that is upon the entire earth. Okay, then what else?
The most simple, feeble Christian can pray down multitudes of blessings from an almighty God.
Well, you could be in an iron lung. You could be crippled. You could have no arms or legs to get about anywhere. Totally dependent on the Lord and on others. And yet, you could say, oh, if I could only get out and pass out tracts. Distributing literature is one thing. Unsaved people can do that. But it takes a person, an intercessor, to get a hold of God to make those tracts alive when people read them. All right, then what else?
We must have faith in prayer. What we ourselves don't have, another can supply.
Right, up there. What we don't have to give, He can supply it for us. He can fill warehouses full of bicycles and for people in India and Africa to ride to different villages to witness and testify. We're getting hundreds of letters. It costs us around $1,000 to $1,500 sometimes a day to send out, just for the stamps, to send out answers to all the different people's requests of things that they ordered for tracts alone. That's not including what we have to, what the Lord provides for us to give them Bibles and tracts and to distribute out there. But a lot of them want bicycles and bullhorns because they like to go out on the streets and preach. And a lot of them need clothes and food for those and the children in orphanages and the old folks in those areas. And if you don't care anything about it, well, you're going to find out one of these days, because the Lord is making you aware of these things, even though you don't have the concern to look around you and in the world. The Lord is making you aware of it through these messages, all right? Okay, so then go ahead.
We have a rich friend nearby who will be both able
Bible
and...
Bible says he's very nigh, doesn't it?
Yes.
He's near. He's nearby. Okay, then what else?
We have a rich friend nearby who will be both able and willing to give the bread. We are sure that if we only ask, we shall receive. This kind of faith makes us leave our home at midnight. If we don't have the bread to give, we can ask our friend.
And leave your bed too. Leave your bed or your house or wherever you have to go. Call upon your friend. Amen?
Amen.
He's your friend. There's no friend to me like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And he's a friend to everybody. He wants you to pray for others. He wants to supply. You want to help people and you can't. Pray to God that he'll give you the wherewithal to help others. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We need the simple, confident faith that God will give. In God's word, we have everything that can arouse and strengthen such faith in us. By 1,000 promises and testimonies in Scripture.
There's like 1,000 promises and 1,000 testimonies about those who pray to God and they get their answer just like that. Amen?
Amen.
You could, I'll bet you did. You could count over 1,000 testimonies. And then you're supposed to go by the testimonies in the Bible. And then there should be many testimonies in the world today. Well, we've seen testimony of that, have we not?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
By 1,000 promises and testimonies in Scripture, calls or urges or prompts us to believe that prayer will be heard. And that what...
That should cause us to believe that prayer will be heard. All those testimonies in there.
By 1,000 promises and testimonies in Scripture, calls or urges or prompts us to believe that prayer will be heard. And that what... we cannot possibly do
that should
ourselves.
Give you the faith to believe that prayers will be heard and answered. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
And that what we cannot possibly do ourselves for those who we want to help can be done and received by prayer.
Yeah, we're totally helpless to do it. But if you really, really believe that God is more interested in helping others than you are, and you pray to him that you want to do it too, just give you the wherewithal to do it. He'll do it. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Amen. Then what else?
There can be no question as to our believing that prayer will be heard.
I mean, if you read the Bible and see all the people that got their prayers heard and answered, there shouldn't be any question in your mind about that. Your prayers will be answered. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We see also that through prayer, the poorest and feeblest can dispense blessings to the needy, and each of us, even though poor, may yet be making many rich.
Okay, that's it.